What's up, you crazy bastards? Welcome to another week of E-Crime Bites. This is where I research the court documentation and roast the criminals so you don't have to. All right, so this week I'm bringing you massive COVID loan fraud. Okay, so in case you were under a rock and you need a reminder, March of 2020, everybody was indoors. Nobody could go outside. And because of that, a lot of people weren't making money. Okay. So there were a bunch of programs in the United States that were started to try to help people out during that time. There are four of them that were exploited in this crime that I'm just going to touch on the names here and briefly what they do. And then we're going to jump right into what the criminals did to exploit these places. Okay. So the very first program you need to know is the EIDL loan, E-I-D-L, and it stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And this is given to businesses, and it's a loan that can be up to $2 million. So it's a very significant chunk of change for a lot of applicants. There's the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, which is a forgivable loan to help keep workers employed. Okay. There is this thing called the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, and that is assistance to help renters and indirectly their landlords, right? They basically provide monetary support to help people stay in their homes and their apartments. And then just individually in each state, there were expanded unemployment benefits, and it just varied from state to state, but you can imagine that each state had their own thing where if usually they give you X during normal times, they might give you two times X because now we're in COVID and nobody has a job, and not any of their fault either. It was because of the virus. So with that background aside, let's talk about our woman of the hour here. This is Paradise Shaw Dre Williams. She enters the picture with a bang here, all right? She enters, I'm telling you, she's entering the story here, coming off a 90-day sentence for a DUI, okay? And she lucked out. It wasn't even put into the books as a DUI. It was put into the books as negligent driving. So I think if she would have had a DUI, it probably would have been worse than a 90-day sentence, if I am reading between the court documents correctly. So let me show you some pictures of her. The one I have on the screen. Okay. I got to give you a little bit of background. The one on the left, that's the one that I found. That's her mugshot. And I got to say, as mugshots go, it's a pretty good mugshot. Usually people look horrible in their mugshot, but this looks good enough. I would say it's at least a driver's license worthy photo, right? I mean, I wouldn't put this on my wall, but I would say this is on my driver's license. I wouldn't be embarrassed, right? But it's her mugshot. The other two, she's definitely dressed very well, and she's out on the town. And we're going to talk a little bit about her going out on the town and how she spends some of her money that she makes off these crimes a little bit later once I explain the crimes to you. So hold on for that. So that was a set of pictures. Let me show you another set of pictures. And again, these all come off of her Instagram account. The one on the left looks like she's getting ready to go out right in the town. And not only that, if you look closely, she's got some real serious bling on her chest. You can definitely tell there's gold in that necklace or even series of necklaces. But I'd say probably a bunch of diamonds too. And I will tell you, I'm pretty sure they're diamonds because I'm going to point to a court document later on and show you that they say there's diamonds in there. The middle picture, that's her on looks like a rooftop of New York City trip. And she's wearing a shirt that literally says rich on it. I know the irony, right? When you find out how she got all her money. And then on the right hand side, it's just looks like they're out at a club and one of her friends is taking her picture. Okay. And here's another set of club looking photos, and all her Instagram photos are like this. Okay. I'm just going to show you a few here. I've showed you what, maybe nine so far. And here we've got on the left-hand side, she's showing a little bit of skin. In the middle there, she looks like out at a Las Vegas nightclub of some sort. And then the right-hand side, I think she's at a New York City high-rise, because you can definitely see that she's looking down on the city. And they're all very Instagram model-looking poses. Okay, and you probably said, hey, Keith, you know, that's all fun and great. These are just your traditional Instagram photos. And I agree with you. Let's kick it up a notch. If you go a little further, there's her Instagram outdoor photos, let's say, okay? And the first two, the left and the middle there, is just her at a, I believe this was the Las Vegas pool of some sort. And she took a picture and said some Instagram quote kind of stuff where you're like, ooh, I hope I'm her. The right-hand side is her in Dubai. Okay, and I know this because the court paperwork later on said this picture, she's in Dubai. Okay, so she's taking some expensive ass trips based upon all this money that she's going to make off these crimes. Okay, if you want to see more images of her, just in the videos, in these videos, every video that I produce for you, if you go to the description or the comments or whatever application that you're on and click in there, it's going to say sources, transcript, etc. Click in there. This is just one of the sources. If you go through my sources, you can see all the court paperwork that I'm telling you about, and you'll see all these pictures, and you can look at all her pictures on the Instagram account that I've got linked in there. So have fun. But hey, listen to this first. Watch this episode first. Don't go looking at the booty pictures yet, okay? The booty, there'll be some booty pictures in here. I promise you. Just stick around. And then when you're done, go to my sources and you can look at all the booty pictures you want, because she puts a bunch of them on it, Instagram for you. Okay, so with that, Paradise Williams in March of 2020 submitted fraudulent unemployment benefit applications to three states, the state of Washington, Nevada, and South Carolina. Luckily for them, all three of them rejected them. Okay. I said they were fraudulent. Thank God they rejected them. Now I wondered, did they reject them because they went, huh, you were in prison. You shouldn't be collecting any unemployment benefits. I don't know. The court paperwork didn't connect those dots, but the points that I just gave you were very close together in the court documentation. So one would draw the conclusion that maybe she was in jail and the states went, you're not supposed to be collecting unemployment. And they sound like they rejected these immediately. So a couple months go by and it's June 2020. Paradise now submitted fraudulent EIDL applications, which is that small business loan up to $2 million that I talked about earlier. They didn't really specify exactly what it was that what her reasoning was for the money. They just said she submitted some fraudulent ones in her name, her family's name, and her friend's name. And I thought to myself, if you're testing a crime, are you really going to put your name in there? And then if you're not going to put your name, are you going to put your family's name in there? Because your family's going to go, what? Keith did what? Well, that guy, it was Keith. It was Keith. Go after him. I mean, I definitely wouldn't put my family in there. And even if you don't put your family in there, would you put your friends in there? Because you would lose those friends as soon as those fraudulent applications turned around and the law started looking at your friends. You'd lose those friends immediately. So you imagine at some point she goes and starts using associates. And I use the term loosely here. That's just how it was worded in the court documentation, so I'm going with it. Associates, which I take as not even friends, just criminal associates. Okay, so she starts using these associates' names to make these applications. And then you may ask yourself, why? What do the Small Business Administration see on these applications that they said no? Well, they said, Keith, because I talked to him personally. I know the Small Business Administration. We're on a first name basis. I said, SBA, what did you see? And they said, well, we looked at these applications and there were multiple applications and she filed all of them with the same 4 email addresses over and over and over and over. And really, we're so goddamn busy that a lot of times our fraud department, when we're looking for low-hanging fruit like this, we will give it to our second grade class next door in the elementary school and just say, hey, look for the same exact email address over and over and over, because those will be a high probability of being fraudulent applications. And that's how they found Paradise in this case. You're going to see she's going to change up her tactics here in a minute. And one of the ways that she changes up her tactics is not using her name, her family, or her friends. She has this associate that owns this salon, and I'm using air quotes here because I don't know exactly if it was real or not. Reading between the lines, it could have been set up just for criminal purposes. So, just trying to give you all the information there. It could be real, or it could also be completely on paper. But this friend owned it, okay? And Paradise is like, hey, friend. Or I'm saying friend, aren't I? Not even a friend. Hey, associate, I don't even like you that much. I'm just going to call you fucking associate from now on. And her associate's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And she says, I want you to allow me to make this fraudulent application for an auto loan in your name and your salon. And the friend goes, all right, what's in it for me? And she goes, you can keep about half of what we get. And her friend goes, all right, so basically free money. Her friend's like, yep, I'll do all the work. Paradise said that, I'll do all the work. And her friend's like, all right, you silly bastard, I'm in. And so Paradise sits down and she fills out the application in her friend's name. I keep saying friend, associate. They're not even friends at this point. You're going to figure out why in a second. They're definitely not friends at the end here. So Paradise sits down and she fills out the application for her associate and sends it in. And she goes, hey, as her associate, she's like, hey, I have $1.3 million in annual revenue in my salon, which sounds like a lot. I don't know much about salons, but if you're making $1.3 million in your salon, that sounds like good goddamn business, all right? Well, she said that, and she's like, hey, my salon, you know, it was tough times. It's COVID. Nobody's coming in for haircuts and coloring and whatever ladies like to do in salons. I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time in salons. So they put this on the paperwork, and the government looks at it and goes, you know what? You're right. You can't do hair when people aren't coming in. We're going to give you some money. We're going to give you $150,000 because you had $1.3 million in annual revenue. That's a lot of revenue. We're going to give you a lot of money. And the associate looked at the $150,000 check and went, oh, fuck. Really? Really? Sweet. And so she cashed it, it sounds like. And then she went over to Paradise and she's like, here's your $11,000. And Paradise is like, thanks, and puts it away. And I don't think Paradise knew exactly how much she got from the SBA. In fact, I'm pretty sure she didn't know. Okay. Because then later on, Paradise's associate, you know, takes money out cash in like ATM withdrawals. You imagine $150,000 if you're taking out. She's taking out a lot of money, okay? A lot of cash. And then at some point, that associate calls the cops and is like, you need to come to my house. And they're like, yeah, phone like this. Well, not even the cell phone anymore, the old kind where you had to hold it like a gun next to your head. And they're like, yes, ma'am. How can we help you? And they're like, a person named Paradise Williams is at my house. She assaulted me and just stole $60,000 in cash. And the cops are like, fuck, okay, all right, we're over there. And they come over there and they're like, we heard you were assaulted and you got $60,000 worth of cash. Hey, hold on a second, you're a college student, right? And they're like, yeah, I'm a college student. The associate says this. They're like, how do you have $60,000 worth of cash? And the associate is like, never mind about that shit. I just want a report written that Paradise Williams came over here and tried to beat me and take $60,000. And she took $60,000 worth of cash. That's all I want. That's all I want in the report. Don't ask where the money came from. Okay. And then, so you start reading between the lines. And what I read was, this associate made a lot of goddamn money based upon the crime that Paradise did. Paradise figured that out, figured out, hey, how the fuck did I just get $11,000 out of this? Went back to get her half, because you're going to see she gets half in every other transaction here. So, which is about $60,000 plus the $11,000 that she got previously from this associate that she didn't pay her. Okay, so she basically broke in and stole it, is what I read. And then later on, I guess the associate and her are still talking, which is a fucking amazing, in my opinion. And the feds started talking to this associate when they did their investigation. So there's a text exchange that I'll just read to you. She says, yo, the feds call my mom about the SBA today. And that's the Small Business Administration. She says, I don't know who you told about it, but I never told nobody like you said not to. People is talking my god mom, hella people calling her about it, saying that I did it with you. Now I don't know what we going to do about this, but I'm not about to go to jail about it. The fuck. Okay, if I could translate for you off of text, it basically says, the feds are questioning me. I'm not going down for this alone, so you better tell me what we're going to be doing here. And she says this over text to Paradise, which you can imagine is terrible for them investigatively, because the cops, now they're going to have that evidence. That's how we're reading it. That's how we're reading it in this podcast, is because they have it. Well, Paradise, probably knowing that later on this podcaster would be reading about this, tried to pretend that she didn't know what this was about. She says, LOL, get off my line. Kind of like, who dis? New phone. You know, basically, why are you contacting me? Okay, so I read a little more into this research about these loans, these EIDL loans that Paradise, she was preparing for her associates. It wasn't just the email addresses that she used over and over and over. Okay, she wasn't very imaginative when it came to other aspects of these applications. Well, first of all, a lot of these companies, because they're companies that you have to make these loans for, they're small business loans, so you're making company names. These company names, she didn't make them like, you know, Rosebud Cosmetics. No, not at all. She would just take the person's name, their first name, and then put an LLC on there. So if it was me, if she was doing this fraudulent scheme for my business and quote unquote helping me out as one of her associates, my company name would be Keith LLC. All right. Okay. So that was the first tip off that there was something going on. It was just first name LLC. And when you start doing correlations of just first names, LLCs, the other ones start to pop up. That was the first. The second was the data that was used in the application was not changed, or if it was changed, it wasn't changed all that much. Okay. So there were four applications that claimed to have the exact amount in gross revenues of one. I hate reading long numbers like this. 1,347,232. But you can imagine that's a very, very specific number, right? It's not just $1.3 million. It's a very specific number. They use that exact number four times on these same applications over and over. So again, that's another thing investigators can go, what other applications used exactly this amount? And you'll find other conspirators. Now, that's not it. There's more. Three of the applications also claimed approximately, in addition to these four, $1.347 million in gross revenue. So not exactly that number, but pretty goddamn close to that number, okay? Just the last three digits, those are the ones that were different. So it's like she couldn't look at it and go, $1.3 million. It better really change that up to like 9.8, or maybe just, you know, $750,000, maybe pull back a little bit. No, she just changed a couple of numbers at the end, hoping that nobody would notice. But we noticed. We noticed. We're talking about it in a podcast right now. And then in all seven instances, because I talked about four and then three, in all seven instances of the same applications, all the goods that were sold were approximately $50,000. So she didn't change that up either. And three of the applications, it was exactly the same, $49,323. Very specific on three of the applications. And it's just, I can't believe she didn't change it. Now you went, hey, Keith, wow, investigators, they're really going to pick up on that, right? They're going to pick up on the exact amounts. They're going to pick up on the first name LLCs. They don't really need much more help, do they? And I would say, no, they don't need much more help, but Paradise gave it to them because three of the applications were submitted within 35 minutes of each other on July 13th, 2020. So you can even look at the system and go, these three landed really close in time to each other and look almost exactly the same. The evidence is just stacking up at this point. Now, in these three instances, though, she didn't use the first name LLC. She used Salon LLC, Salon LLC, comma, and Salon LLC, period. Just basically sleight of hand on paperwork. Okay, so she does a lot of this. And then by the end of the year, Williams Paradise here personally filed at least 38 fraudulent idle applications for fictitious places. And she claimed a gross annual revenue of all these places of up to $14.8 million, seeking more than $4.1 million in assistance from the government and causing $300,000 to be dispersed from the government. So we're talking about big money at this point. So now she sets her sights on PPP, which is the Paycheck Protection Program. Okay. And she sets up an alias, or she uses an alias, her alias, and it's not that far off her real name. It's Shaw Drea Williams. And later on, when investigators look into these fraudulent applications that she made for PPP, similarly that she did with the EIDL loans, they figured out that she made like her profit from this, because she did this with her associates, $20,000 there. Okay. And so I started doing some research and I was like, well, how exactly does she make her money on here? This was weird. She would charge her associates $50. And I said, okay, what, she's charging maybe like $50 up front and then maybe $500 later on. How is this working out? No, $50 up front and then half of whatever the fraudulent loans are later on. And I thought, I was like, these loans are going to be thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why the $50? Is that just like an honesty thing of your associates? Like, just pay me the $50 up front. If you don't pay me the $50, I know you're just going to cheat me later on, and I'm just not even going to bother. Not even going to bother doing this whole criminal enterprise with you. It just didn't make sense to me. But apparently she would charge them $50 up front, and then when the loan was paid off, she would expect half of that amount back to her. And she was so successful in this enterprise that she would have random people contacting her, okay? They would hear about the EIDL loans and the PPP loans and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to put a text exchange on your screen that was in the court paperwork where it was just a random person. She didn't know who it was. It was just, hey, I wanted to tap in and see if you can help me. And she says, who's this? And then they said their name, which is blanked out in the court paperwork. And she says, what do you need help with? And the person says PPP, which is this second loan type that we were talking about. And she put question mark. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The associate put question mark and then put, never mind if you're not doing it no more. Hey, and it's because there's some time that goes by in here. Like, days go by in this conversation at this point. And I think the person's probably like, oh, well, Paradise isn't doing this anymore, so I'm just going to check in a couple more times, and then maybe she ghosts me. Well, then Williams comes back several days later and was like, hey. And the associate is like, can you do that for me? Referring back to the PPP in the conversation. And she goes, I need 50 up front for doing the app. Probably thinking she's a goddamn high roller, right? $50. What? Oh, my God. And then she goes, and then 3K when it hits. And I'm thinking, again, why? Why do you need the $50 up front? She did. So when this associate number two's application went through and was funded, it actually was more than they expected. Okay. And she said, I want $7,000 back. Okay. Earlier she said, I wanted $3,000. So you got to imagine the payout was probably what, $6,000? So now she says, I want $7,000 back. And if I do my math right, that would be about a $14,000 loan that she got for the person. All right. And so if she's saying she wants her money, bitches better have her money, right? We saw what happened earlier. She came in and she assaulted the other associate and stole $60,000 worth of cash. Who knows what she's going to do over this, right? And then she sets her sights on unemployment benefits. And from what I read in the court paperwork, she was very adept at being able to get around California's identification system. And her and this other co-conspirator worked specifically on this unemployment benefit system in California because of this method that she could, use to get fraudulently get funds from the government. And if you're interested in any of this stuff, like I said, go in the description or the comments of this video, and I put links to all the sources and all these co-conspirators, their side stories, and you can go to the court documentation and read. You know, this is one side story with Tia Robinson was her name, was that co-defendant, and it has a whole tangent on this crime alone that if you're interested in it, you can read all about it. I gotta move on because she does so much crime. I only can really touch on these things. So this is where she makes most of her money now, is the emergency rental assistance program. I think she hit gold one time on here. I was like, fuck yes, and just kept going at it. So this is the fall of 2021, a little bit later in the COVID pandemic. There were these emergency rental assistance programs given to states, and a lot of times states would then delegate the money to counties, and there would be X amount that would be given to certain geographical areas. And you can imagine it's never enough, right? There's a lot of people that needed money because nobody was making money, and everybody was looking for some type of rental assistance. So there were only a fixed amount of funds that were there, and the organizations had to figure out who was the most needy and who was the most qualified to get some of this money. And usually it ended up being the people that were most likely to be evicted if they do not get this type of assistance, according to what I read. So you can imagine what they're looking for in an applicant is quote unquote low income and nearly homeless when they file these fraudulent applications. Now, not only are there not enough funds to go around, and you know, they're taking them away from people that are low income and nearly homeless as a crime, they figured out that this type of loan could be paid out to landlords too. So they could set up fake tenants and fake landlords and basically control this whole criminal process and just siphon money off of the government fraudulently through this rental assistance program. Now, she goes big on this. She has at least five co-defendants that I know of, and I'm gonna bet she probably had more co-defendants that they didn't charge that I don't know about. Paradise knew that she could not associate too many tenant applications with any one landlord or otherwise that's going to start throwing up red flags. I don't know why she knew this, but the court paperwork said that she definitely knew this. So this is the reason why she started creating a bunch of fictitious landlords, at least 25 fictitious landlords. And if I haven't stated already, all this stuff is electronic crime because most of this stuff is filed electronically. And a lot of the stuff is actually signed electronically. I know this landlord stuff that I'm talking about here in a minute, a lot of this stuff is done electronically. So to make these false landlords, these 25 false landlords, 25 plus false landlords, she created false documentation, such as ledgers, landlord's attestations, meaning it's kind of like a legal statement of, I'm a landlord, this is my tenant, this is how much I charge. And she falsified leases and all that kind of stuff to support her wanting funds through this rental assistance program. And at some point, I think they almost had to prove that these false people that they were filing these fraudulent applications under had to have like eviction notices. So they started creating false eviction notices to make it look like they were an imminent threat of losing their home. So that way they would get their funds ahead of more really people that needed it. Right. I mean, there were real people in line that wanted and needed this money, and they tried to make it look more emergency in their case than the other real cases out there so that they could scoop it up instead of the real needy people. Okay. So within 6 months, she submitted another 21 fraudulent applications using the aliases Shirley Williams and Shaw Williams as fictitious landlords. She caused her county, King County, to pay out at least $750,000 into a bank account that Paradise owned herself. She submitted another 58 fraudulent applications using names and aliases of co-defendants in this case, resulting in the payment of over $2 million in emergency rental assistance. Okay. Now you have to imagine half of these funds come back to her in kickback. Because that was the deal, right? She would file this shit. If you got $1 million, you got to give her $500,000 out of that. That was the deal. So out of that $2 million that she made for her associates, you figure she made about $1 million. You're going to see how she spent it here in a minute. All right. To give you a statistic that blew my mind. Okay. So I looked up her county as King County in Washington. Okay. So they received over $300 million in this emergency rental assistance program funding from the federal government and state grants and just all together. Okay. When she went in and said, I want a chunk of this criminally, she got $3 million. That's 1% of that county's funding for that one program she took alone by herself. I mean, with co-defendants, but she was behind that whole thing, was 1% of the disbursements of that fund. That blew my mind. Okay. How'd she spend her money? The court documents, it tells us. It tells us in great detail how she spent her money. In fact, if you don't even want to read the court documentation, you can go to her Instagram account and just look across there. You can tell what she spent her money on. It was mostly her looks and looking like she had money and jewelry and things. She spent on luxury cars, lavish vacations, diamond jewelry, designer goods, and plastic surgery in Columbia. And you probably stop me and say, Keith, are you talking about Columbia, Maryland, near where you live? No, Columbia. The actual country. She went to Columbia for surgery, which sounds like she did that during pandemic times, which I imagine might have been a little scary. Who knows? She also had a trip to Miami in June of 2021 where she rented a Lambo. And I was like, no, this case wouldn't have been a case the way it was if she wouldn't have rented a Lamborghini, right? In the fall of 2021, after she started getting a bulk of this money, where she's now approaching millions of dollars, her bank account showed that she spent thousands of dollars on luxury items such as custom jewelry. And I showed you some of those pictures earlier, and I'll show you some coming up here in a minute. And specifically Christian Dior. I don't know why. The court documentation was very specific about that. Christian Dior. And I think it's because her Instagram name is actually just Paradise_Dior. And maybe they were trying to highlight that. Or maybe she just spent a shit ton of money with Christian Dior that they were like, we've got to mention this. It's just so much money. So one of the things that she bought was a car. She bought a 2017 Lexus ES sedan. And I'm going to put a picture on your screen here. She spent approximately $36,000 on this. And I went, you got some money and you spent it on a 2017 Lexus in probably what? We'll say 2020-ish, 2021. So it's a 3-4 year old car. I mean, you're talking about the type of cars that I would buy. The podcaster would buy. Not, I wouldn't buy a Lexus, but I would buy a 3-4 year old car and be okay with that. That's what she bought with her proceeds here. And I thought, you know what? You're not doing well. You're not really flashing the kind of money that you've pulled down here, right? I mean, it's an old car. And she says, you know what? I agree with you. Keith, I got to do better. I'm going to go buy a Land Rover. And I said, a Land Rover. Okay, I've seen them. Never owned one. They're pretty nice looking. And she says, yes, I'm going to buy a 2018 Land Rover, Range Rover, Velar SUV. I don't know if I pronounced that Velar name correctly because it's so expensive. I've never even sat in one. And she goes, I'm going to pay for it with just over $63,000 worth of cash. And I'm going to bring it in using $100 bills or higher. And I thought, oh my God. Because if it's $100 bills and it's $63,000 in cash, that's a lot of bills. That's a suitcase, right? I mean, did she hire somebody to come with her? These are all questions that go unanswered because it's not in the court paperwork. But I do think them. All right. So by the time of her arrest, she took this vehicle and custom wrapped it. Okay. And you're probably thinking, Keith, do you have a picture of this wrapping? Yes, I do. Boom. On your screen right now. And you're probably like, that's fucking hideous. It looks like a chameleon. And I know I looked at this thing and I was like, this is the ugliest wrap job I've ever seen. I wouldn't have wrapped this car. I would have had a really nice cherry paint job on this and just left it. But she wrapped it, and I think it kind of looks ugly. But where your eye should be going is that sign underneath her car, my friends. It is a giant handicap sign under that parking spot because she's such an asshole that she's going to take her wrapped Land Rover at her apartment complex and park it in this handicap parking spot. And I will tell you, there's nothing in the court paperwork about her having a disability of any sort. So this, my friends, this is very egregious in my opinion. And I say that not joking. This actually, one of the things kind of pisses me off. All right. So I promised you there were diamonds. There are diamonds too. Here's two Instagram photos that the government put it directly in the court documentation of, hey, look, she is very, very proud of all the money that she stole. Of course, she's not saying stolen, but all the money that she has that she got through this crime, right? And you can see there, that's one of the necklaces. This is the closer up on it. And it's definitely got diamonds in it. It's got a lot of gold, and it's definitely got some diamonds in it. And if you look on her hands, you got diamond rings. She's got a diamond bracelet. She's got a diamond encrusted watch, it looks like. So she's got some major bucks on her body in that left-hand photo. The right-hand photo, again, it's like a designer outfit that she has on and a bunch of, jewelry. And I believe this one is in Las Vegas. So I imagine she's out shopping and spending heavily. And then there were trips to New York, Scottsdale, Mexico, and Dubai, all this. She had to have money to go there, right? Well, that was money that she stole through these fraudulent schemes. And I got pictures of this. We got the left-hand side. That's New York City. That's the one where she's wearing the rich blouse. And then the right-hand side, you can see she's at a place in Scottsdale, and she's definitely wearing a lot of encrusted diamonds on her necklace. And then the next set of photos, this is from Dubai. So the left-hand side, she's with a live wild tiger. And then on the right-hand side, she's at a pool. So here she's definitely spending some bucks to fly overseas. And you look at these pictures and you're like, Keith, that doesn't look like all her money. She probably could have spent more, right? Yeah, she could have. She had some homes too. Let me tell you about these. So her home, she has homes in Arizona. Now, I talked about Washington earlier. That's where she was getting her rental assistance saying she was about to be kicked out. But in Arizona, she's got some seriously nice homes. She had a townhome rented under an alias named Darnell Peterson. And Peterson was actually a name of one of her co-conspirators. They just changed the first name. I don't know why. Again, if you're trying not to get caught, don't use the last name of one of your co-conspirators. But they did. They used it. Okay. So she rented this townhome under the name Darnell Peterson. And they moved to Arizona. And this thing, I'm going to put a picture on there for you now. It has a 60-foot pool. It's got a sauna. It's got spa facilities. And they describe it on the website as resort-style living. And it looks like you're staying at a, you know, a very, very high-end hotel. But you're living there. It's your apartment. It's your townhome. And so they decide they're just going to stop paying on the townhome that I just showed you. And they're going to move into someplace bigger. And I thought that only happened in office space where you just stop paying for things when you don't want to pay for them anymore. But it happens in real life too. And they did it. They just stopped paying on it and moved into a new place. And this place is just as luxurious. I would say maybe even more luxurious than the first place that I showed you. I'm going to pop a picture of the courtyard on your screen. And again, it looks like a very high-end hotel. They represent themselves on their website as a quote unquote luxury perfected with amenities such as weekly live grand piano performances, poolside cafe service, and a hot tub. All right. Well, that's how she spent her money. Now, March 4th, 2022, knock at the door. Very loud knock because the FBI is there and they say, we have a search warrant. And they search her place, but apparently Paradise, she still does not give a fuck, right? They're searching her place and she knows about it. And even up to a year later, on the eve of her actual arrest in May of 2023, Paradise submitted a fraudulent application to the Arizona Emergency Rent Assistance Program. I don't know if it's because she couldn't pay that first townhome that she had and had to let it go back or what it was, but she was doing her thing again, trying to get some money, and they caught her, and she was saying that she lost her job after contracting COVID and all that kind of stuff. So even though she has been through a search warrant, she is still submitting fraudulent applications. That was mind-blowing to me. And she even made $8,400 from that scheme before they shut it down and arrested her. So May 31st of 2023, and I know where I'm zooming ahead for you because there's a lot of court stuff that happens and you probably just don't want to hear about it. You just want to hear about the high points. So let me give you the high points. The indictment comes out, which is where they charge her. And they said, hey, Miss Paradise, we're going to charge you with a lot of shit. Counts 1 through 19 wire fraud, because there was wire fraud everywhere. You were involved wire fraud everywhere, my friend. And we're going to charge you with 19 counts of it, which I would say just based upon what I read was probably pretty low. They probably could have charged her with more. Counts 20 through 24 was money laundering, but it was concealment. I don't know exactly what the legal difference is, because in counts 25 through 26, it was basically the same thing, but it was money laundering spending. So there's these two different money laundering types of laws that they hit her with to equate to 6 counts of money laundering. And that's on top of the 19 wire fraud counts that I talked about. And then the government says, oh, you know all that money you made. We saw that. We want it back, okay? All that shit you bought, your Land Rover, your Lexus, anything that you have made for money from this crime, we want it back. And any cash that you have left over too, we'll take that. And then I sat there and I was like, I read the indictment, I flipped it over and it was a blank page. And I was like, government, are you fucking kidding me? Where is the charge for the handicap spot that she parked in with that loud ass Land Rover and didn't have the handicap sticker? I'm a little pissed about that. I'm a little pissed about the fact you did not charge her with that, because that kind of pissed me off. Okay. That was a crime. And you know what else is a crime? That wrap job on that vehicle, also a crime. It looked hideous. Okay. So somewhere along the line, Paradise was like, I'm going to plead guilty, but not to everything. Okay. Those were a lot of charges you threw at me. The 19 wire fraud charges. I can't do that much time. I will admit I was guilty to one wire fraud charge and one money laundering charge. You pick them. I don't give a shit which one it is. I will only say I'm guilty to one of each. And the government was probably like, yes, you know, confused, like, we got her on a charge, but Jesus, they only got her on one wire fraud charge. That seemed very light to me, but the government accepted it. Okay. So that was her plea deal. So, you know, it comes point in time. It wasn't officially a sentencing hearing, but it was their arguments for sentencing for and against a leniency in the sentencing. This happened in February 27th of 2024. The government went up there and they said, hey, Paradise is a tornado of fraud. Not only that, but she was a tornado of just crime before we even found out about her, because there was the DUI, like quote unquote DUI. She was in jail for a while and all that other stuff that podcaster found in her background. So she did a lot of stuff even before she gets to this crime. And now she did this crime, which was heinous enough because she took millions of dollars away from people that actually needed it during the COVID pandemic. And that's horrible. And because of that, we want 110 months. And again, I went, fuck government. That sounds goddamn random. What? And I did the math. I got out my calculator and I was like, 9.1667 years. Checkmate, government. She could never complete it because the sixes just keep going. Sorry, math nerds. I know. So anyways, it was just over 9 years. And I was like, 9 years? Okay. Yeah, about 10 years. I could feel okay with that. And they said, also, we want 5 years supervised release. And I was like, that's probably a good call. Good call, because she's always in trouble. Usually 3 years is average, right? So 5 years is kind of a lot in these cases. And then they said, we want all that money back, which we estimate is about $3.3 million. And the defense went up there and went, okay, well, we don't have a lot to argue. Well, she's been addicted to drugs, opiates specifically, and alcohol. Let's see, what else? Well, her father died. Yep, her father died when she was 13 from heroin, so her life was kind of shitty. She came from poverty. The defense is up there. I was like, oh, I'm kind of on a roll now. Came from poverty. Yep, poverty. She was mocked for secondhand clothes at school, so therefore, she learned to fit in by shoplifting clothes and things. And she did the whole crime for money, just for social acceptance from her peer group. And I was like, really? That's your argument? You did this crime for peer acceptance. Okay, let's say she did. Let's say she did all that because of she wanted peer acceptance, right? That doesn't explain why she parked in the fucking handicap spot, right? She parked in the handicap spot. You knew she was a douche from the beginning just because of that, right? It had nothing to do with peer acceptance. I felt like this was just a giant excuse. And then the defense goes up there at the end of their argument, was like, hey, could you please just give her 4 years? And this is what I thought was weird. And I'm going to quote this. Appropriate period of supervised release? And I was like, you're not even going to give them anything? Like 3 years? You're not going to give them anything to go off of? Because they're going to probably take the middle, right? I mean, at least you could say 1 year. No, but they were like, the appropriate period of supervised release. So she's probably going to get the high end of the supervised release, if I had to guess. And then the judge looks at this, looks at both of the arguments, is like, yes, government, I know. Yeah, she swindled a lot of people out. Yes, defense, I know she had a bad background, but a lot of people do, and they still don't swindle the government. I'm going to give her 5 years. And I looked at that, and I was like, 5 years. Feels a little light. Feels a little light. I mean, it's still a lot of time. Feels a little light, but it's still a lot of time. And the court said, hey, you know, we'll make a recommendation so she can be near her family in Phoenix. And if you say, all right, well, maybe she'll get out in 5 years, turn her life around, get a good paying job, and start to pay back that restitution she owed. What was the restitution again? And the court says, oh, yeah, this is the part where we're going to get you. $3.3 million in restitution. So when you get out in 5 years and you try to find a job as an ex-con, try to pay some of that son of a bitch back, because it's going to take a while. All right. And so as I promised, we're basically to the end of this case now. And as promised, I just wanted to touch on our co-conspirators. She did have a bunch of co-conspirators throughout here. I talked about, you know, these EIDL loans, the PPP loans, the unemployment benefits, and all this. But she had help. She had a person named Darius Jackson. She had Tia Robinson. She had Rayvon Peterson, which is the person that she was with when they made that house lease under the name of Darnell Peterson. I don't know why Rayvon Peterson wouldn't want to be associated with Darnell Peterson when they're doing a crime, but he did. And then she had another co-conspirator named David Martinez. Now, they all pled guilty, okay, and for their participation in the scheme. And the judge sentenced Jackson, the first person I mentioned, 3 years in prison. Sentenced Robinson to 18 months in prison. Martinez and Peterson are scheduled to be sentenced. And I checked right before I recorded, and they didn't have their sentencing, but it should be any time now. So by the time this comes out, I bet you their sentencing gets announced. And then, so both of them are going to be mid-March is when they come out. I didn't say the date. It's going to be mid-March, so we'll look for it. And a lot of times, scheduling kind of gets weird with court. So if it gets bumped out, maybe another month, that can happen in court. Somebody will get sick or somebody will go on vacation. It just happens. And like I said, everybody in this case, including that list that I just talked about, everybody had heavy, heavy criminal background. Things like assault on police officers to robbery, you name it. It was just almost any crime you could imagine. So with that, my final thoughts, $3.3 million, that's a lot of fraud. That she did some work, but that's also a lot of restitution. I don't know how she's ever going to be able to pay that back. That's a lot of money. Even with a normal IT job, I don't know how somebody could pay that back in any reasonable amount of time. And so Paradise was the ringleader in this whole thing, and it was kind of interesting. They tried to argue that she wasn't, and she just kind of fell into the ringleader role because she just saw that she could do this. But she was the ringleader, and she got 5 years because of she was a ringleader. I felt that was a little light. You know, the government asked for 9. I kind of felt like it should be close to 9, but she got 5. She asked for 4, and if anything, they should have added time because of that wrap job on that Land Rover. I cannot get that out of my mind. I mean, you saw the picture of that, right? That picture of that Land Rover, that's an awful, awful wrap job. She should get a couple of years for that alone. And then that handicap spot right there, that's tack on another 5 years. Listen, Paradise, I know you got five. I know you got five, but we'll see you in 10, okay? Just for parking in the handicap spot, we'll see you in 10. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. I tried to put another bananas episode together for you, and it had a lot of weird twists and turns I wasn't prepared for when I was going through. I was not prepared for the booty pictures, okay? So I figured I would share the love and put that in the thumbnail. Maybe that's what drove you here. And if you're here at the end of this and still listening to this, I very much appreciate it. Please like, subscribe, thumbs up, follow. Do any positive affirmation you can on these videos and audio if you're listening just the audio side of this. That helps me so much just get this in front of other people that haven't seen this type of material. And if you know of anybody that likes true crime podcasts that has some element of electronic crime in it and the host is not that serious but still tells you the truth, please, please share these types of things with them. Have them join us weekly. I would love to have them join us. And I hope to see you back next week. We're going to pick another bonkers case and go through it. And I appreciate you sticking this long this week. All right. Thanks. Bye.